Hello, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this wonderful Labor Day weekend. It's a beautiful weekend. We're so happy that you could be here today. Please sign the red pads and share it with other folks so we have a record of your attendance today. We appreciate that. I want to welcome today our guest minister, who is Reverend Jeff Powell. He's been a pastor for 25 years in a small congregation. He's been a pastor in Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, and most recently served as an interim ministry in Hamburg, New York. He's a graduate of Shaler High School, Westminster College, and Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He currently lives in Allison Park with his sister Karen and his Irish setter Galen. So welcome. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
It's that time of year that the choir is here, and anybody who's interested in joining the choir, please see Mickey. They practice Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m., so please talk to Mickey. It's always nice to have all the sweet voices up there. Save the date, October 2nd coming up. We have the annual pork roast, so if you're interested in attending that, please sign up in the back there for dishes. And next weekend's going to be a special weekend. This is when we're going to start using our new church hymnals. So hope to see you next weekend here. And if you want to sponsor a hymnal, there's a coupon in the back of the pews that you can set that down. Give folks an update. You know, now that Leonard has retired, we're in the process of looking for an interim pastor, and this is a responsibility that Sheshen is taking on, and we're working with Presbytery on that, and we're trying to do this in a reasonable pace. And then shortly we'll need to be forming a pastor nominating committee, so Nancy Baldwin's working on building up the slate for the pastor nominating committee, and then at some point we'll have a congregational meeting and elect those folks, and they can start the business of doing the work for the pastor nominating committee. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff to give us the call to worship.
The call to worship comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." As those who bear the likeness and blessing of God, as mortals charged with holy purpose, let us worship Almighty God in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us sing together our first hymn, number 19, "We Worship and Adore You." As we gather here in God's presence, let us humble our hearts and together confess our sin as we pray together the prayer of confession. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins.
We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ. Confess the faith of our baptism along with the apostles in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Turn and greet your neighbor with the peace of Jesus Christ. responsive reading this morning is number 653 in the back of your hymnals. It's titled God's Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us.
And it is time for the prayer requests.
We have three prayer and praise requests today. First one comes from Heather Perlman for praise for Tim and Dee Reber. Their fourth grandbaby was born, and a lump was found in its back. As of yesterday, the baby was in the NIC unit at Children's. Prayers are needed for them. Next comes from Lynn Lubb, a prayer for Cassie Carson, her daughter. Prayers for safe travels and for a great experience as she leaves Tuesday morning for Germany for the entire school year as a foreign exchange student. Prayers for mom, too. Thanks. And last comes from Kathy Sagey. Prayers about Tracy Swetko. She passed away overnight after a long battle with breast cancer. We are in prayer for her husband and family and find comfort by the power of prayer, our Lord, and his grace. May she rest in peace. Please keep all these prayer concerns in your hearts.
I'll just double check. Are there any other prayer concerns or requests? No? All right. Let us go before God in prayer. Gracious Lord, we delight in this time when we gather together in the name of Christ to worship you, to hear of your great deeds, to offer our prayers and thanksgivings, to sing your praises. What a joy to our hearts. What refreshment for our souls as we delight in the Lord our God, as the Lord our God delights in us. Come before you, Lord. We have many concerns, many cares upon our hearts. Some are joys, some are worries, some are sorrows. And we lift them up to you. We rejoice in the birth of a new grandbaby. And we ask your blessings upon mother and child and upon the whole family. Let them grow in you and grow together. Let the parents be wonderful parents. Let the child be a wonderful child. Let the grandparents be delighted and spoil that child. We lift up Cassie. She goes to study abroad for a year. What a great adventure. But we ask for your traveling mercies. Place a fence around about her, Lord, that she would be protected wherever she goes, wherever she is, that she walks with you and is guarded by you and brought home safe once more to her family. Be with her family So they pray for her and worry about her and wait for her return. We lift up Tracy, and more importantly, we lift up Tracy's friends and family who mourn her passing and grieve her, the loss of her life and their relationship with her. We rejoice that Tracy's with you beyond all pain and suffering, in the company of saints. For those who are still here, ease their grief. Let their memories bring them comfort and joy. And may they delight in the life and the light of God that was shown through Tracy's life. As we come before you, Lord, there are greater issues, great matters to pray for. We pray for our country. We pray for its leadership in this election cycle. We ask your blessings that the American people will pick the best candidate, whoever that may be. Help us to see through the confusion. Help us to hear beyond the noise who has something of importance to say, who lives a life of character. Help us to know who to elect, who will bring honor to your name, O Lord, and to this great nation. We pray for your church, O Lord. We ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon your church time and time and time again. The church universal. Wherever two or three or more are gathered in your name, you are there, Lord. And we need your blessings and your mercies. More specifically, we pray for the Presbyterian Church USA. Keep her healthy. Keep her faithful to you and to the Word of God. And even more particularly, we pray for the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, for her session and for her leaders and for her congregation. Bless them, unite them in one purpose, in glorifying Christ in their lives and in their worship and in their work. In all these things, Almighty God, we ask your blessings, we ask your mercies, and we lift up our hearts as we pray the way our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us sing our next hymn, Open Our Eyes, Lord, 383. Let us worship God with our tithes and with our offerings. Gracious God, we thank you for this time when we offer not just gifts, but we offer ourselves to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive these gifts, these tithes, these offerings as a sign of our devotion, as a testament to our love for our Lord Jesus Christ. May you bless them, may you multiply them, and use them for the greatest good in your kingdom. Amen.
Today I will be reading to you from the Old Testament, and this particular verse, Psalms 39, comes to me as song. It says, I'll be watching you, and I probably have the group wrong, but I think it's the police. So, the word to the Lord. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6, and Psalms 139, 13 through 18, and Jeremiah 18, 1 through 12. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before the word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high that I cannot attain it. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise thee, for thou art fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are the works. Thou knowest me right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of me. How precious to me are thy thoughts. O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, there are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 12. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the evil that I intend to do to it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will repent of the goods which I had intended to do so to it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, "Behold, I am shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return, every one, from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings." But they say, "That is in vain. We will follow our own plans, and will every one act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." That is the word of the Lord.
How many of you are familiar with that passage that Penny just read from Jeremiah about the potter's house? Jeremiah going to visit the potter. It's one of the more famous passages from Jeremiah, and rightfully so. It's a brilliant image that God uses. Who can't picture a potter working at the wheel, forming vessels? Even in this day and age, we know of people who work with pottery. It's not the profession that it once was. Now it's more done for artistic reasons. But in Jeremiah's day, the potter was essential. He was the one that made your jars and your water jugs and your oil bins and your, you know, that was a major business and concern. And it's a wonderful image, the potter working at his wheel, forming and shaping the clay. But I wonder if when you hear those words and you think about the potter and you think about relating that to your life, you imagine that the potter's wheel is kind of like going to a spa and getting a massage. Got that idea at all? Because if you do, you're in the wrong place. It's not that. It's not getting a massage. It might be for some of us, for somebody who's really good and God just needs to do a little adjusting. But for most of us, being on the potter's wheel is not that comfortable. God is trying to shape and mold us and reshape and remold us. And the reason this is such a brilliant image for us to look at and understand is because it relates to people individually. We can all apply being the potter working on the clay on the wheel to ourselves individually. Who here has ever thought that God's been remolding them and shaping them in a different way, directing them into a new shape or a new image or a new career or something like that? I'm sure all of you have in one way or another at some point. Individually, that's true. But you know, it's also true for congregations. It's also true for denominations. I think God, to a great extent, is reshaping the worldwide church in many different ways. And that's getting a little off track of where I'm going this morning. But I think that's true. The church is having to shape and be reshaped and remolded to deal with the modern era and with the modern age. The image of the potter is one that we all can grab hold of. The crafter of pots and urns and water jugs and much more is comforting because it is something we can all picture, we can all see. We can all put our hands on it if we want and be potters ourselves. But the idea of this metaphor of being shaped and molded by the hands of God, it rings with us. It sits with us. Now, of course, when we consider how God shapes and molds us, we remember that it's not always comfortable or easy. Our Creator is deeply invested in us. Deeply, highly invested in us. And in seeing us become the person that He created us to be. And if we take today's lesson seriously, God, did you catch that one part of the image? God is willing to collapse the pot that you are to reshape you into another one. That can't be a lot of fun. That can't be a lot of fun. That will be uncomfortable for a time until you're reshaped and reformed as an individual or as a community, or as a congregation. The church, if you look at church history, the church has been remolded drastically and dramatically about every 500 years. The first big change that came about is they had to actually form a structure and become a church and have organization and administration. And the next change came when the Eastern Church and the Western Church split along political lines and geographic lines and military lines and economic lines. But there was the Latin Church and there was the Eastern Orthodox Church. And then along comes Martin Luther and John Calvin, and the Reformation happens, and the church is drastically changed and altered again. And I think we're right on par right about now, because it's been about 500 years since John Calvin was alive. I think the church is being remolded again for a new age and for a new era. And so if you feel like the church is struggling, it may be. Maybe, because we need to be in tune with God. We need to be in prayer and attentive to what God is trying to do in our lives individually and in our lives as the church corporately. The relationship between the potter and the clay is a robust one. The potter is not indifferent to the condition of the clay. God is not indifferent to the condition of his people. God is always in the mix, always in the mix. He's up to his elbows in clay. He's covered with spatter from spending endless hours at the wheel. Have you ever seen a potter work on a wheel? They work, that wheel spins. Hopefully they don't have to spin it themselves. The modern ones, I think, have a motor and the wheel spins. But if you work on a potter's wheel, it's wet clay. That's how, otherwise you couldn't mold it and you couldn't shape it. And as they work, their hands and their arms all get covered with clay. And there's parts that they all wear aprons because the part, there's clay that spins off and they're all covered head to toe with spatter. Imagine that. God is working on us. He's not off high in the sky somewhere else. He's intimate. He's close. He's shaping us. He's molding us. And he's covered in our gunk because he's making us useful to him. That's what's going on here. That's the image we have before us. We might not always recognize God working in our midst or how he forms and reforms us, but God is never absent. He's always attentive. Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of Jesus. We call him Emmanuel. Everybody knows what Emmanuel means? God with us. How much more attentive can God be than to come in human flesh and live in our midst as one of us and die for our sins? God is present. God is attentive. That is a hope. That is a joy. That is something I want you to hold on to, because as I understand it, Glenshaw Valley is, pastor has just retired. You're looking for a new pastor. That's a significant change for this congregation. You've had a long time pastor who's retired, and you're happy for him. He retired. He's put in his life's work. He gets to go and enjoy himself and relax from the labor of his life. But for you folks, that leaves you in a place of uncertainty. Who's the next pastor going to be? What are you going to do? How are you going to get by? Well, the simple answer is you're going to be faithful. You're going to be attentive. You're going to come to church. You're going to continue to worship and praise God. You're going to spend hours in prayer. I can't under underscore that enough. You're going to spend hours in prayer seeking God's will and seeking to understand God's purposes for you. And your future will reveal itself. A new pastor will come. Another pastor will come who will care for you and love for you, lift you up, guide you in the ways of the Lord, and you will carry on. It will be different. It won't be the same. It'll be a different pastor. It'll be part of your reshaping and part of your remolding. You'll have to adapt and adjust to the new pastor, just as he or she will have to adapt and adjust to you. But know that God loves you. God is with you. And God is in no way indifferent to your needs, your fears, your wants. In Christ, God is with you. And that's a message of hope. That's something you can hang on to. That is a good thing. God is with you. There is a point in this whole process where the potter is seeking to raise a pot off of the wheel. You're seeking a new pastor. That's going to be a shaping and reshaping and remolding time for this congregation. But eventually, that pastor will come. And it'll create a vessel for this congregation to move forward. And that's what the pot of God's trying to do. It's trying to prepare you for a future that you don't know yet. You can't see the future. I can't see the future. Anybody here see the future? We can guess at it. We can say, if this happens, that'll happen. But all in all, we don't. That's why we always resist change, because the future brings change. Don't fear the change. Seek God and follow God's counsel. But the point is, of course, the potter seeking to raise a useful, beautiful pot from his wheel. Friends, I would urge you, as I've already said, to be attentive to the Word of God. It's always, I may be a man out of my time, but I can't get past that one, as we must always be attentive to the Word of God, because when we are attentive to the Word of God through reading it, meditating on it, digesting it, praying over it, we learn and begin to fathom, begin to know the mind and will of God. It's there. It's there. Today's passage from Jeremiah, there's a warning in it. It says, "But they will reply, 'It's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts.'" Now, as I was getting ready this week and looking at this passage and preparing, two things came to mind. One is, as you read this passage, one of the images that came to my mind was the story of Jonah. Who remembers the story of Jonah after the big fish? Everybody knows the big fish or the whale. What happened after that? Well, the reason Jonah ended up in the big fish is because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't want to go preach to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was Syrians. They were the enemy. He didn't want to preach to the enemy about God's grace or about God's wrath. He just wanted God to destroy them. So he ran away, and in running away, he got thrown over the side of the boat, fell into the deeps, and the fish swallowed him and took him back to shore. But what happens afterward is Jonah finally acquiesces, and he goes and he preaches in Nineveh. He spends 3 or 4 days walking across the city of Nineveh, preaching that if they do not repent, God is going to destroy them. Well, he must have been a heck of a preacher, because the entire city repented in sackcloth and ashes. From the king down to the lowliest person, They all repented in sackcloth and ashes. The animals didn't work. They fasted. They prayed. They begged for God's forgiveness. They changed their ways. And God relented and did not destroy them because they repented of their evil ways. Now, the funny thing is, Jonah was mad about that because he, like I said, he didn't like them. He wanted them to be destroyed. He said, God, I knew you would do that. And the funny thing about the story of Jonah, the only one in the story of Jonah not to repent was Jonah. Everybody else repented. The people on the ship repented. The people in the city of Nineveh repented. Jonah was the only one that didn't repent in that story. So, but that was in our lesson here. God says to Jeremiah, has Jeremiah tell the Israelites, if a nation is to be destroyed and they repent of their ways, I will change my mind. And if they are to be built up and they do evil, well, that's going to go away. God is involved with us. And God will shape and reshape us, sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently. But his purpose will be served. And so I say, the other thing that comes to mind is, don't be stubborn like Jonah. Don't be stubborn with the Lord. Do you think you can out-stubborn the Lord? You can't out-stubborn the Lord. The Lord is the hound of heaven. He will pursue you to the depths to redeem you. It's proven that in Jesus already. You can't out-stubborn God. Instead, yield your hearts and your lives up to God. Yield yourselves up to the Holy Spirit and allow yourselves to be amazed by what Christ can do in your lives and in your congregation's midst. Allow it to happen. Cooperate with the process. Allow God to shape you, mold you, guide you into the individuals you're supposed to be, into the congregation that you can be. It'll be to your benefit and to the glory of God. So I encourage you, allow yourselves to be reformed, reshaped, remade, remolded in the image of God. Amen. Let us sing hymn 574, If My People's Hearts Are Humbled. Peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You go nowhere by accident, friends. Wherever you go, God is sending you there. He has a purpose in putting you there. Christ, who indwells in you, has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this, friends, and go in God's grace, go in Christ's love, go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.